are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends, on this beautiful day in Philadelphia, February 20th, 2023. And I hope you're tuning in for a very special radio broadcast today. But let us begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we place this program into your Sacred Heart and into your Mother's Immaculate Heart. We pray today for all those who listen, all those who want to listen and will be tuning in. We pray for all the special intentions of the individuals who have sent them to this amazing radio apostolate. We ask, Lord Jesus, for your love and mercy as we approach the beautiful season of Lent. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for our special guest today. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you search the highways and byways for all the individuals and families who need to hear this broadcast today, that they may be touched in a powerful way. And we thank you and praise you, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but have you read the news today about Asbury College out in the Midwest, their revival that's going on with young people? I chuckled today as the one of the administrators of the college said that he had to shut it down because it was just getting too large. And I laughed because I thought, well, how do you shut down the Holy Spirit, right? This ought to be unique because it is spreading to other colleges and universities. And we pray that this revival spreads to all the ends of the earth, to all the ends of the earth, that the Lord manifest his Holy Spirit to every family, to every homeless person, to everyone in prison, to those who are sick and dying in hospitals. We pray that that Holy Spirit descend upon this radio apostolate in all of his glory to bring about a revival, a Christian revival in the hearts of all those who are feeling despair today. Well, my friends, that's why we have a very special guest who will be coming on in a few minutes. I've had her on many times. Many of you know of her and have read her books, Ann Cardoza Costa, but you've heard bits and pieces of her personal testimony, which is quite powerful. So, if you or someone you know is suffering from an addiction, is suffering from depression, anxiety, new age, involved in the new age, and they have no idea how dangerous it is, this broadcast is for you. I believe that this will be a classic broadcast that could be played over and over again because no matter what Ann Costa discussed today, all of us have experienced some level of her personal testimony. And the most important part of this is that you will hear how the Lord Jesus Christ, wrapped in all of his glory, unraveled the addictions, the depression, the anxiety, the new age involvement. You will hear a story of hope and joy, my friends. So I'm going to take Ann through this personal journey of sharing and opening the book to her testimony, which is so powerful. I want you to tell friends to tune in. For those of you who do not know Ann Cardoza Costa, that's C-O-S-T-A, she's a celebrated author. You can find all of her books on Word Among Us, on Amazon. She's a celebrated author of many, many books, even on addictions, on being hurt, on the Sacred Heart, and so much more. She is the foundress of Revive Hope and Healing Ministries based out of Syracuse, New York. She is a retreat director and she's a motivational speaker. She is a woman of many talents. She's a wife, a mother, and grandmother. And we have a very special relationship in terms of sharing radio time and how God wants to manifest himself at the moment, in the present moment, on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. She is going to reveal again and share with an open heart her personal testimony, which is astonishing. Because when you see her and hear her speak, you think, well, here's a woman that has it all together. She's has a master's and she's a licensed social worker as well. And again, she's a celebrated author. You can look her up on Amazon and see all the books she's written. But she hasn't written a book without suffering through all the nuances of writing a book and her personal testimony. So I can't wait for Anne to come on. And I thought, you know what? She's perfect. We've been going through a lot of prayer teachings over the past 6 weeks or so. It's time for a testimony of someone who has struggled through this and how she came out on the other side, because Jesus loves all of us as he has loved her, and he's redeemed her and healed her. And so even though I mentioned the Asbury College revival, young people are starving for the Holy Spirit. Anne Cardoza Costa was starving for the Holy Spirit in her life. She was starving for any sense of joy or hope or healing. And this is why this broadcast today, I hope and pray, will be a classic that you'll want to hear over and over again, because she is opening her heart in a powerful way to this radio network today. So when she calls in, be sure to call your friends, because it will be a time of great joy, and you'll be stunned at her story. I believe about 2 years ago, she shared a part of her story on the air with me, and I had received some emails saying, are you kidding me? This celebrated woman, this licensed social worker, she suffered all this, and she's on her feet, and she's declaring the glory of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and her love for the Holy Eucharist and the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church and the Sacred Scriptures. Yes. Yes, yes, yes to all of the above. And this is why she really decided to start an amazing ministry of integration of God's mercy and healing and deliverance through Revive Hope and Healing Ministries based out of Syracuse, New York. She is not a local person, but she does travel. She's given retreats locally, and I believe the last retreat she had given in this area was on addictions. So I really celebrate the love that she has for those who are broken, for those of us, all of us are broken, and how she has dedicated her life and her skills and her gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his Blessed Mother. Let me know, Frank, when Anne dials through.
She's on the line.
Anne, welcome. You're live on the air.
Hi, thank you. Good to be back.
Anne, I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. I hope that we can make this connection powerful for those. I just gave a little bit of a background about you, but I want you to start at the very beginning, Anne, because you've written all these books. You're the foundress of Revive Hope and Healing Ministries. You're a licensed social worker, retreat director, mother, grandmother, wife, but it's not all perfect, is it? Start putting the pieces of the puzzle together for our listeners. Who is Anne Cardoza Costa? Oh. Where shall we begin?
Oh my goodness, I hope you can hear me. Is this connection okay?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, great. Oh my goodness, who am I? Well, I am a daughter of a very loving and redeeming God, but I didn't know that for so long, and I felt so very alone, and, you know, I needed him so much in my life. I grew up in as an only child in a family of two adult children of alcoholics, you know, before that was a thing. So both of my parents had already experienced a lot of trauma in their own lives through their own families. And then they came together and they had me, and it kind of continued the cycle of craziness. Some of us, you know exactly what I'm talking about, that when you're born into those kinds of situations and people haven't had the help or they really maybe don't know Jesus that well, although my parents went to church and Catholic church faithfully, and I'm grateful to them for doing that, for taking me to church every Sunday. Even though they were hurting themselves, they really took that responsibility seriously, thanks be to God. And but, you know, it was a chaotic childhood. It was a childhood. My mother had a lot of mental health problems. She was also an alcoholic. And my dad was pretty wrapped up in her so that it wasn't very available to me. And I grew up feeling very scared and very anxious, alone, and didn't really know what it meant to feel special or loved. And I don't think that my experience is really very different from a lot of folks. And it just is about how do we handle that? What happens to us in the course of our lives when we start out that way? And for me, very early on, I had this wonderful, really wonderful love for Jesus. I didn't really understand that he loved me. But I did know that I loved to go to church, and I loved to think about Jesus and Mary and being a part of their family. And that always was something I could count on, that feeling that I got when I went to church. It was peaceful. It was very different than what I experienced on a day-to-day basis. And I really, you know, look back and know that Jesus was there with me, even though I felt so very, very alone. And I think what happens when you grow up in those kinds of circumstances, it was just me, so I didn't have brothers and sisters to sort of talk about. I didn't know a lot. I was very sheltered, and it made me grow into a real sense of insecurity, of course, and self-loathing. And a lot of people don't like to talk about that. But when you grow up that way, especially in an alcoholic family or where there's drugs or abuse and chaos and things where you can't really know what's going to come next, you tend to absorb all that. You bring it into who you are, and it defines you. It just surrounds you. And I really, really had a sense of self-loathing for myself and a lot of shame. I took it all in. I always felt it was my fault the way things were going in my life. And, of course, I didn't know how to make them better. So by the time that I became a teenager, I became quite rebellious. I craved attention. I just craved attention because I didn't know what love was. And I look, in a way, I look at a lot of young people today, and I resonate with what they're experiencing when they're struggling with things like identity or just so much confusion about who they really are, because what happens is that self-loathing really turns itself out into this real need to be have attention somehow, or you don't know how to get love and you don't know what it really is, so you're seeking all this attention. And I think that's what's going on a lot with young people these days. And so what was the remedy for me? What did I think would I do to help with all of that was going on? You wouldn't think that I would become an alcoholic myself, but by my first year in college, I was drinking just about every day to cope with the pain and the fear, just feeling so different than other people, and not knowing how to connect or even have friends, being shoved out into the world, and just my anchor was alcohol. It became my real anchor. And so, as you might imagine, coupled with the self-loathing and the depressant, which alcohol is, things got pretty dark for me, and I made some really bad choices, and I got into some really difficult spots. And by the time I had left for college, I had left essentially the Catholic Church. I still believed. I knew what I was leaving. I knew that Jesus was there. I truly believed that he was. I knew that he was. But I think in my own way, I was just trying to rebel. I was just trying to get attention from other places. And I was seeking something because I guess probably at the end of the day, I was pretty mad at the way my life was. I didn't want to admit that I was just as angry as maybe my mother and father were, but I was. And so I left. I left my faith, and I just immersed myself in these kinds of things. And I keep bringing up the self-loathing because it's what led me to the next chapter of my life, I truly believe. Because when you have that sense of yourself that is just, you can't accept those parts of yourself, and you're trying to cover up and hide all the time, the devil really gets into that. He really likes that. That's his way of really kind of putting a wedge between you and Jesus. And he was becoming pretty successful with that. And so in my quest, because, you know, I was confirmed in the Catholic Church and I at the age of 13, and I really, truly sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit at that time. So I had a relationship, so to speak, with the Holy Spirit, even though I was turning away. The Holy Spirit was still in me, I believe, through the whole thing, my whole years of this rebellion that really, it just led me into the occult, quite frankly, into a church that called itself a church as I'm in my teens, getting out of college, starting on my own. It was really exciting and interesting to think that I could be powerful, get attention with being able to look to the future, know what the future was, or, you know, with the crystals and all of that curiosity, all of those parts of ourselves that the devil likes to get on in there and distract us from that first commandment of God is, you know, you shall have no other gods before me, right? Well, we start out in these things quite innocently, really. I went to a psychic because I thought it would be fun. And soon after that, I was dabbling in classes and how to channel people and people from the other side. And it was just so interesting because, quite frankly, this psychic that I went to, she really did know what she shouldn't have known about me. And what I didn't know was that it had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit at all, even though she claimed that it did, which is often what people do in the New Age and the occult. They mix Christianity. They mix whatever faith you might have, whatever shred that you are bringing into it, and they mix it with the occult. So it seems benign, and it seems like it might even be a good and godly thing, when it truly isn't. So when I thought I was, like, communicating or channeling my spirit guides or talking to my dead grandfather, who do you think I was talking to? I was talking to demons. I was on demons that talk through there. They are intelligent beings, and they can dupe us, and they can trick us and deceive us because Satan is the father of lies and the deceiver. So it might seem like that you're on the right team there, but I wasn't. And so paralleling this kind of constantly wanting more of my curiosity satiated and with the kind of occult practices, I found the truth, right? You know, we even read the Bible, so I just didn't think it was all that bad. But what was going on in my life at that time was a still drinking and still, not doing what I should be doing with my life, kind of wasting it. Got involved in a really bad relationship with a man who was abusive, as everything was really confirming the terrible self-image that I had, that I carried. It was a lie, but I didn't know it then. And so things got kind of really bad, you know? It got really bad. And then, in the midst of this, as was predicted by my psychic at the time, I met my husband, a man who became my husband. I was engaged to somebody else, the abusive guy. See, this is where I say to myself, the Holy Spirit was with me all the time. I just didn't know it. At the same time as all of this rebellion and what I was going into, trying to find some semblance of peace in my heart around my relationship with my mother, in particular, my reconciling my dad's absence, and trying to feel like a whole human being when I literally felt like I was shattered in a million pieces on the inside. I truly know that the Holy Spirit was there, even though I was doing those things. And paralleled with that, I did meet my husband, and he was the right one. And I made a good choice there. And even though I hadn't been in a Catholic church for probably 10 years, I insisted that we be married in the Catholic Church. And I didn't know why, even though I was involved in the New Age, I didn't know why, but something told me, because I did believe that you're supposed to get married if you were Catholic, even though I wasn't at the age. If you're Catholic, you're supposed to get married in the Catholic Church. And I think that starting, making that step, you know, as foolish as it might have seemed to the people that I was around who were involved in the occult, and everybody else that knew me, quite frankly, at that time, my husband had to get an annulment. He had gotten an annulment from his first marriage, and we were going to do it the way we were supposed to. And thanks be to God, there was a priest there who insisted that we, you know, go through pre-Cana, and that we learn about what the faith teaches, and, you know, we didn't, do what other couples were doing. You know, we were doing it the right way, right? We didn't move in together originally, and initially. We were trying to do everything just right for some reason. And, you know, any little step that we take towards Jesus, it's like, you know the story of the prodigal son. I mean, the father runs out, right? And he says, well, wait a minute, come over here, right? He rushes out the door to sort of meet us wherever we are, which is such a beautiful grace and goodness. And so he did. So I started to... We did get married in the Catholic Church, and I started to try to go to church on a regular basis. I didn't go before we got married. We got married in the church. It's not usual, but we did. Then we started to go to church, and I couldn't go. I couldn't sit still in the church. I couldn't. And the other thing, just to tell you how rebellious my spirit still was, right? Not only has I get caught up in the New Age, but I was kind of a feminist, too. So in the church, when you are standing and you're getting the final blessing after you're married and you say that you're going to have children, that you'll agree to be open to life and have children or the blessing, I remained silent at that time because I had already made up my mind that I was not going to have any children because of what was going on, what I happened to me. And I did not in any way, shape, or form feel like I could be a mother. And I didn't want to be a mother. Okay. So that is kind of the crazy kind of place I was in my spirit, trying to go to church, still pursuing the occult, and not being able to sit through a single mass without weeping. And it was embarrassing to me because I didn't understand why I kept crying all the time when I was trying to go to mass. And the only time that I didn't cry was when on Good Friday, and I always, even all of those years when I was in the occult and all those years when I was in college, I always went to church on Good Friday because it was something that I just always did, and I never stopped doing that. But the reason why don't we understand now, I didn't know then, but I understand now, was that Jesus isn't in church at that time. He's out of the tabernacle. So the weeping that was going on was, I believe, his heart being, me experiencing the wounding of his heart, him experiencing the wounds that I was inflicting on his heart, and he, you know, and my heart all wrapped up, everything about the heart. Everything was about the heart that I needed to have like a transplant of not just my life, but my heart, and Jesus knew it. And so that's what was going on at Mass, I believe. This went on for years, and this went on for years, this struggle, this in-between. And after I did get married in the church, my husband was also a pretty heavy drinker, and I was still drinking at that time. I was in my late 20s, and I was still drinking, and until this one day, just a day like any other day, when I was hungover from a Saturday night thing. We had just partied at our house, and it was just one day. It was a Sunday morning, I remember, and I was bending over to try to tie my shoe so I could what? Go to church, okay? To go to a baptism, somebody's baptism, my friend's daughter's baptism. And I remember the moment as if it was just a minute ago when I just said, I'm done. I am so done. I can't quit. I cannot quit drinking, Lord. And I cried out to this Lord that I sort of knew but didn't know too much about. I'd walked away from anyway, and I just very quietly, it didn't really cry out. I said it in a whisper. I said, Lord, you're going to have to do this because I can't, but I am done. I'm not going to take another drink. By your grace, I'm not going to do it, and I haven't. And that was like 30, that was not like, it was 33 years ago, November 26.
God bless you. If you're just tuning in, this beautiful woman on the air is Ann Cardoza Costa. She's a celebrated author, foundress of Revive Hope and Healing Ministry, a licensed social worker, retreat director, motivational speaker, and a woman who loves to share how the Lord delivered her from a life of struggling and addiction. And when we come back after this commercial break, I want you to share with our listeners, if you can, one of the darkest times when you were placed in an institution and how the Lord worked through that darkness for you, because I know you'll be touching a lot of lives. So stay tuned, my friends. After this commercial break, we'll be back with Ann Cardoza Costa.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us, here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, really hosted every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And today, our special guest is Anne Cardoza Costa, and I had asked Anne if she would share her personal testimony. Many of you have read her books or have heard her on the air or have heard her at different retreats. And she's the foundress of Revive Hope and Healing Ministries. But there are some more important, there are important moments, Anne, that I would like you to share, if you're comfortable, with our listeners that you've shared over the past couple years with us on the air. Particularly, you just shared that you asked the Lord to help you with your alcoholism. You married a wonderful man, but he also was an alcoholic. You had suffered with depression and anxiety. Tell our listeners, if you're comfortable, again, Anne, with that dark moment when you were alone and how you had to go to an institution to get better.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, this is the thing that we have to understand. Like, there's always a battle for our souls, right? So we and God is so good. He's with us the whole time. So yes, I got sober, and then once I was able to get sober, you're able to kind of really reestablish your faith life. Not until then, really, it doesn't happen until you can. So then I became very much involved in the Catholic Church, and the moment of truth for me was when I finally, after a lot of infertility, go figure, because wouldn't you know, even though I denounced that I didn't want to have children, out of the love and the marriage and the repair that God was doing in my own life and heart, of course I wanted to have children with my husband. That is the purpose for which we were brought together by God for to bring life. And so, but then I couldn't, right? So there were 7 years of infertility, and I was still involved in the New Age Church until such time as I finally was able, after a miscarriage, to conceive that my daughter, my one living child. And the Holy Spirit. I was in the New Age Church at the time, and I asked the lady there, the reverend or whatever she was, if I should stay and have my child baptized in that church, or if I should, you know, have my child baptized in the Catholic Church. And she said, you should have your child baptized here in the New Age Church. And the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and finally, I left there. I literally ran out of there, and I went to the Catholic Church, and I have not left ever since. And so the healing that has come, it has not been instantaneous, and it has been an unfolding over time. And the one lingering thing that I could never shake from my past was the fear, the utter terror with which I walked in the world. I could not get over the, people call it anxiety, and I think that's a really nice euphemism for what it is, because it's an oppressive dark spirit of fear that really stems, again, from that self-loathing, and we see it can destroy people. It can destroy people. And as well as I was, as good as my recovery was, and I was getting mental health therapy, and I was getting sacramental healing, and I had my beautiful daughter, and she was in her, you know, she was in a great, you know, she was nine, she was 8 or 9, and I had these wonderful Christian Catholic friends, and oh, the fear, and the fear came over me so strong that one day I had a statue of the Blessed Mother in my house, and I wrote down all my fears, I put them under her statue, and I said, I need help. And really, less than a week later, I was admitted to a psychiatric hospital with a complete mental breakdown, and a psychotic break. It was a situation where I was hallucinating, and I was not having delusional, and I was in a state of complete out of touch with reality, and nobody could figure out why this was happening to a pretty highly successful, functioning, you know, woman in her middle age. You know, they couldn't mm-hmm. really figure it out. And I did simultaneously have a thyroid problem that was contributing to it. But the fear really just overtook me, and I was out of the building for quite a while. You know, I was out of commission, and I remember every single moment of it. And I remember what it was like, and it was terrifying. I mean, it can't even imagine the terror when you lose everything. Like, I lost the one thing that I could always count on, which was my mind, right? I could always I was a person who always tried to figure everything out, and I was always reasoning and rationing and talking to myself, and, you know, I was a highly intelligent person, and then all of that was just gone. And I remember being... And it didn't, you know, they can only keep you in the hospital for so many times. They pump you up with a lot of medication, and they get you stabilized, and then off you go. So I think I was in the hospital for like 10 days, and the night before I was supposed to leave the hospital, I was like, I'm still very sick. I had an understanding that I was still hallucinating and stuff. And I remember laying in the bed, and I put my hand up. I lifted my hand up. In some moment of lucidity, I just said, "Lord, take my hand. Take my hand. I need you. Just take me. I just take me. I'm yours, you know." And then I kind of fell back into whatever and into delusion for a while. And then I got discharged the next day. Okay, and I was a little bit better, and I really want to explain this to people because people don't really understand, but there's a point in time where you get just well enough where you know that you're not well. Like, you're aware of the fact that you may never recover your mind the way it was. When you're psychotic, you don't know that you're sick. You're in another place. But when I was discharged from the hospital, I was like, I may never recover, or this might be as good as it gets, and I might go back into psychosis. And I was standing at my kitchen sink, and I said to the Lord, I said, "No matter what happens, I want you to know I choose you. I choose you. No matter what you, I want you. I want you." And, like, within the next hour, the phone rang. And it was somebody that was back when you know they actually rang, and a woman called, and she said, "Hello, I'm calling about a manuscript that you sent us to. I'm an editor for Word Among Us Press, and I lost your manuscript, and I'm leaving the position, and I just found it. I'd always wanted to be a writer. I'd actually given it up for Jesus. I wanted to write for Jesus, but I had gotten rejected at least eight times on books that I wanted to write for Jesus. And here this woman is on the phone saying, would you mind if we published it? It's really good. Would you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that'd be great." And I just hung up the phone. because I was like still not right. You know, I was still not quite right. And so 3 days went by, and my husband was, and I said to my husband, just, I remembered it. I said, I think somebody called, but I'm not sure if it was real. I'm not sure if it was a, I'm not sure if it was a hallucination or not, but this lady called. And he goes, honey, he goes, you better call her back. You better call back. And so I was a little bit better, and I called back. And you see, that was the start of what has become who I am today, right? I, in the throes of recovery from the deepest, darkest, most everything, he stripped me of everything. Thanks be to God he did. I will look on this, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I also know that it was purposeful in the place that then God could use me, and I had chosen him. And so during my recovery from this awful psychosis event that took a course of like several months, after that, my recovery was writing my first book, Refresh Me, Lord, which is still today, and that was published in, I think, 2008 or 10. It's still on selling copies today. And I've written 7 books since then. And God has used me in whatever way I let him do, because when you are willing to choose him, even through the darkest moment, he can use that. He takes you up on the word. He's there with you in the darkness, and he walks you back into the light. And that's what impels me today. That is why I founded Revive Hope and Healing Ministries. It's why I get up every morning. It's why I write books and speak, and why I do radio shows to talk to you, to tell people that God's faithfulness, he never leaves us, even when we leave him, and that he can use even the deepest, darkest thing in your life to heal you, to bring you into wholeness. And he does. Not only can he, but he does. So we never have to fear the cross. After that experience of complete and total breakdown, the fear is gone. I'm not a fearful person anymore. Obviously, I'm not a fearful person, but I don't have it. It's gone. He used that to take away my fear. And so I hope and pray that people don't have to go through that kind of a dramatic thing, but sometimes we do. And if we're going through it, I tell people just try to reach out and find people that have been there too, because we know what it's like, and we know you can get to the other side. And that's why Revive Hope and Healing exists. To make sure that people know Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to help you. And he wants to redeem and take you from the dark into the light. And he's a way maker. You know, I never heard that phrase until very recently. But he does. He promises to make a way. We don't know the way. I mean, we think we know the way to our happiness, or the way to the things that are going to make us feel fulfilled or significant, because that's really what we're searching for. He shows us a way that is so different than what we can even imagine, and so much better, you know, and that we don't have to crave attention when we experience, you know, the deepest kind of love that he has for us. And here we are entering into Lent. And I'm inviting people, because Jesus has invited me, and I'm inviting other people to spend these days of Lent in total reception of what Jesus, what God, the Father, your Father, wants to give you through these days of Lent. How do you need to be healed? What does he want? What way do you need him to make for you? And I want you to just take each day as a day of, Lord, I'm here to receive whatever you want to give me. And And, you know, Mother Teresa said, and this has become like my motto for life, she goes, I take what he gives and I give what he takes, right? Mm. I take what he gives and I give what he takes. And he's always so abundantly giving more to us than what he takes from us. Yes, he took away my mind for a little while. He took away my sense of self. But he rebuilt me in a way and gave me the understanding and filled my heart with his love. And, oh, my gosh, it just doesn't get any better than that. It's like heaven on earth. It's like when we go to the sacrament of healing, when we go to the sacrament of confession, when we go to Eucharist, you know, it's about receiving. How much can we receive from him? When we look and contemplate his Sacred Heart and we see the trickle of blood and we see the rays coming out of his heart, you know, I mean, he can't contain the love, and he doesn't want to. He wants to offer it to us, the graces. So, but we must receive. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, and it's such a powerful story. That's why I didn't want to interrupt you as you were sharing your story. I mean, from alcoholic parents to you being alone and the alcoholism that you became addicted to alcohol, and then you became involved in New Age, even to the point of becoming a member of a New Age church and all the involvement of that, and the psychosis event that placed you in a psychiatric institution, the loneliness, the anxiety, as you call anxiety, fear. And then now the amazing journey into how God has manifested his love and mercy for you and his desire for you to share this message with so many people. Tell our listeners, Anne, about Revive Hope and Healing Ministries. Why in the world would you start such, well, just the name alone is your life. But share with our listeners how perhaps they could be in touch with you or be involved in Revive Hope and Healing Ministry.
So we have a website, and it's really a family of different ministries that complement each other. On, you know, and we're an association of Christian faithful and also an apostolate. So we have this purpose of bringing Jesus to the world and the world to Jesus, but our ministries are person to person. Healing ministries, different ways. First, starting out with the Sacred Heart ministry, which is an enthronement ministry, which is really about bringing Jesus into the homes that are broken, like mine was, imperfect. Every family is imperfect, with a lot of moving parts and pieces. But that the Sacred Heart of Jesus enthroned in your home can be a game changer. It can be an opportunity for you to really grow in holiness. Not have to hide like I did in a closet with Jesus, but to put him up in a prominent place in your home and then live out that love relationship with his heart. So we have that ministry. And then we have Unbound, which is a gentle healing ministry to help people get over some of those obstacles like fear and shame and loneliness, disconnection, and some of those things that are getting in the way. And we also have a St. Michael ministry because, he's a great warrior for us, and we need him in these times, and increasing devotion and understanding of him. And we also are starting a confession coaching ministry to help people to really avail themselves of that wonderful healing sacrament, just a peer-to-peer kind of getting over the angst of going to confession. And that's coming in the fall of 23, the fall of this year. And we also are have an accompaniment ministry for people with mental illness and mental challenges. Of course, that's near and dear to my heart, and that's a very isolating experience. I want to help people to feel a part and get them to the sacramental grace and healing that comes from just going to church and being a part of a bigger whole for a community. We are a small Christian community of people, and we are about the restoration of the human person. So our website is www.revivehopeandhealing.com. We do not just serve in the Diocese of Syracuse. A lot of our ministries are online. We have Lexio Divina prayer groups online, so people can really begin to the Holy Spirit, become a part of a prayer community, be anchored in that, because healing really happens through people. It happens through people who love like with Jesus' heart and who experience that love and want to share it with others. That's who we are and what we do. Thanks be to God and for his glory.
And if someone wants to be in touch with you directly, do you have contact information on this website as well?
Yes, they're all the contact information is all over. We do have a phone number, and it's on the website. I know you're going to ask me, and I don't have it in front of me.
Okay. We can look up Revive Hope and Healing Ministry.
Yes, it's all over that, and we answer that 24 hours a day. If someone's having a crisis, some kind of an issue, we're more than I answer that phone. So we answer that phone. So, yes, and we get you connected because connection is really important, connecting with the community of body of Christ for healing.
Amen.
Do reach out to us or to your parish priest or to Ann McLone or to the people at InHisSign Radio, people that you know that are trustworthy and trustful and steadfast and love Jesus.
Amen. And I know we have listeners today who may be just getting out of work or just tuning in. Would you please pray? You have such powerful gifts. Pray for our listeners today who are in despair or in addiction or who are sensing or feeling that anxiety and fear for the Lord to free them this Lenten season.
Heavenly Father, we know that your heart beats every single second throughout the universe for every single soul, that not one of us is missed by you, that every one of us is known by you and loved by you, that we don't have to hide from you. Your goodness, your mercy, your love, you just want to pour it out, and you want us to receive that, so that we can be trusting always your faithfulness. Lord, you want us to turn to you. Help us to go to the rivers in the desert that you provide. Lord, lead us to the places where we will get fed, where we will find fellowship, where we will experience authentic love. Lord, guide our paths. Make a way for us that we cannot see through whatever difficulty or trial we are experiencing right now. Lord, put someone in our path. Put someone in our path that will lead us to you. Help us to trust in you. Lord, it just invigorate our spirits. Draw our souls to you when we come to you in Holy Eucharist, and help us to have the courage that we need to walk away from the darkness and the things that are keeping us from you. Lord, let this be a time of great mercy for each one of us, that we will come to really experience the flood of release from your great mercy in the sacrament of penance and on this document of reconciliation, and lead us into the ways and into the light. Hold our hand. We reach out now, and we put our hand out, and we know in your faithfulness that you will grab our hand and hold us close to your beautiful sacred heart.
Oh, thank you, Ann, for being on the air with us today. And I pray that you and your family have a beautiful Lent, and that the Lord continues to reveal himself to you and all that he desires from you and your family. And thank you again for sharing your time with us today. God bless you, Anne.
Thank you so much, Anne. God bless you and your family.
Thank you, and we'll be in touch.
Okay.
All right. God bless you, Anne.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Powerful, powerful hour. Leaves me speechless sometimes how the Lord manifests himself in the darkest places of our lives. And today, my sense was that we needed Anne Cardoza-Costa on the air to share how the Lord moved through her life. You know, many of us think that, these people on the air, the broadcasters or the evangelist or the writers have it all together. They're perfect people. They were born saints. Well, my friends, we are all imperfect. We have all suffered. And no one, I can't think of anyone who has suffered more than Kathleen McCarthy. And look what God has done for her and her family and her ministry. And now you just heard the total story of Anne Cardoza-Costa and how God worked in her life and is continuing to work. She's reaching out to so many people around the world and continuing to write. And to think that she was born of alcoholic parents, she became an alcoholic. She got involved in New Age and crystals and channeling and the New Age philosophy. And she vowed on the altar during her marriage vows that she didn't want children. And then she really, really became psychotic and was institutionalized and suffered from anxiety and fear, as she says, and how God delivered her. God delivered her. She simply asked. She simply invited the Lord. So, my friends, if any of you are suffering today with any element of what Anne Costa shared today on the air, it is our prayer as a ministry of In His Sign Catholic Radio Network that the Lord Jesus Christ will send his healing love, his healing mercy into your heart at this moment, that he will send his team of angels and saints to wrap you in their arms, in the loving mercy of our Blessed Mother. It is our prayer as a ministry that you, during this Lenten season, will experience a Lent like no other, that you will experience the heart of Christ in a very powerful and special way. Let us pray for this apostolate, that it will grow to all the corners of the earth, as the Lord prophesied to Dominic Lethierry many, many years ago, and to Kathleen McCarthy. We pray for that revival, that Holy Spirit revival, to touch your home during this Lenten season, your parish, your work, and this apostolate, that nothing will be the same, that we can measure the growth from this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, to Easter Sunday, and then to Pentecost. Let us all believe as faith-filled believers, my friends. Let us believe that the Holy Spirit wants to change our lives like he did for Anne Costa. She simply asked and surrendered her life to the Lord. And look what happened to her. And look what is happening through her, because of her desire to serve the Lord. It's what he's asking all of us today. He's not just asking Anne Costa or Kathleen McCarthy. He's asking you, yes, you, the faithful listener, or perhaps the first-time listener. This is your moment. This is God's moment. He's reaching his arms out to you. So until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and remember that you are special in God's eyes. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.